Good stuff. Good conversation with Titans wide receiver Corey Davis. Back here on Darren and Donick, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's head to Memphis, even though I don't think our next guest is actually in Memphis. Pete Pranica is on the line with us, Grizzlies TV play-by-play man on Fox Sports. You know anything about that, Willie? Oh, yeah, that's right. You do. You know a little
Pete
bit about
Pete is
that.
The man.
You guys are TV buds.
Oh, yeah. He does the Grizzlies games, of course, with Brevin Knight, gets it going, and Pete is a very loyal Predator fan as well. He will always make a couple trips over to Smashville to watch the Predators in action. So we appreciate that.
Uh-huh. And how come you haven't reciprocated and gone to FedEx Forum?
I've been to the FedEx Forum for a game.
For a Grizz game.
I have been.
Maybe if they get Ja Morant, maybe you'll be there
a little
bit more.
That might be a little more incentive there, but let's find out more.
Pete, how you doing?
I'm fine. I guess that was a good luck charm in game two against Dallas. That was the only playoff game I was able to make. So.
Oh, man, we needed to get you back for game five. No wonder.
This was bad info. We should have known that back then. We'd have definitely had you in the house. So where are you headed? I know you're traveling around right now. What are you doing these days?
Well, visiting my mother, who lives in northern Wisconsin.
Okay.
And headed to O'Hare in a little bit to fly back to Memphis. And actually, June, I'm not going to be traveling. I did three playoff games for NBA TV. They were all the Nuggets Spurs series, which was really a lot of fun and very, very cool. And July is going to be a crazy month because NBA Summer League, and the Grizzlies have the number two overall pick in the draft, so there'll be a lot of interest with that. And then the WGC Golf Championship, the FedEx St. Jude Invitational, which will be at TPC Southwind in late July. Top 50 players in the world. Very, very exciting.
Indeed it is. In fact, it was exciting. I saw the ratings were way up. But I think best one in 16 years to see how the whole draft lottery was going to play out. And indeed, two teams that didn't have the best odds come up with the top two picks. So what did you think? Did you think the Grizzlies had a chance? And did you think they were actually going to have a pick that high? And now that it's played out that way, what's been the reaction?
Well, you know, jumping from 8 to 2, particularly I think under the old lottery system, would have been really remarkable. But they smoothed the odds out a little bit so that those who, and I hate to use the word tank, but I can't think of another one, who tank hardest aren't necessarily the beneficiaries. Jumping from 8 to 2, look, the Grizzlies have had so much bad luck with the draft and draft lotteries over the years that, you hate to get your hopes up. But once you knew you were in the top four, I'm like, oh, wait a second. Hey, this is pretty cool. And then you have the long commercial break. But everybody's thrilled. I mean, obviously, look, if you get number one overall and you get Zion Williamson, heck, I think New Orleans sold 3,000 season ticket packages, the day after the lottery.
Wow.
Grizzlies aren't going to sell that many for Ja Morant or R.J. Barrett or whoever they choose to pick. But now you've got a top two pick to pair with Jaren Jackson, and the end of last season, you brought in some players, particularly from Toronto, with Jonas Valanciunas and DeLon Wright, who really showed you something that they want to be in Memphis and can be productive in Memphis. And so now there's a certain element of enthusiasm for next year. If the Grizzlies had conveyed their pick to Boston, well, then there's no point in having a draft party because you don't have a pick. If you're picking 7 or 8 in a relatively weak draft, you're not excited about that. Top three pick, particularly number two, if not a number one, you get excited about it. And certainly there is excitement.
You're right. It does seem like it's the big three, and then it's everybody else. And it's like either you're getting Zion, Morant, or Barrett, like you said, and then after that it's you're throwing darts and hoping some of these other guys work out. And it's not like they're not good players. I mean, obviously there's potential there, but it does feel like it's those three and everybody else.
Right, right. And so that's why if you fall, four or lower, now you really are relying on your scouting and your general manager and maybe some leaps of faith that you'd rather not take. And I don't think with Ja Morant or R.J. Barrett, I don't think you're taking a very big leap of faith at all. I think you're going to get, whoever you pick, you're going to get a solid pro.
Pete Pranica is with us. He is the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies on Fox Sports. And Pete, I guess one thing they have to think about, especially with Morant sitting there, in theory, it would be available. What does the future hold for Mike Conley? He's been such a staple for that team for such a long time. and he's under contract. Obviously, he plays the same position as Morant. So what are the options there?
Well, you know, the options are varied, and I don't remember an offseason where the roster is such a Rubik's Cube, where there's so many moving pieces, because you've got Jonas Valanciunas with a player option for $17.5 million. You've got DeLon Wright, who played great with a couple of triple-doubles late last season, who is a restricted free agent. If you bring in Ja Morant, now you have four different point guards on your roster. That's too many. So you're going to have to clear out somehow. And, you know, one option is we want to make the playoffs, so we are going to have Mike Conley. We're going to keep him. He's going to mentor Ja Morant. You know, DeLon Wright's probably going to get a pretty good offer and may price out of the Grizzlies' range because the Grizzlies are right up against the tax line as it is. And so you keep Mike Conley as the veteran mentor. Or, conversely, do you say, you know what, Mike has meant so much to the franchise, he has meant so much to the community, but we need to move on. And so what kind of assets can you get for Mike Conley that are not point guards? You know, can you get a stretch four? Can you get another big? Because the Grizzlies were short on bigs as we got towards the end of last season. So, you know, two schools have thought on it. You know, you'd hate to see Mike Conley leave Memphis, but given the way things have shaken out, it would certainly be understandable. And my gut tells me probably he's going to be in another uniform next season.
What kind of value does he have at this point of his career? You know, he's 11 years into the league. He's been so productive over time. But once you get to a certain age, I'm sure it varies. And, of course, there's a price tag attached to it.
Well, you know, the team that's going for Mike Conley and that Mike Conley would want to go to is a championship contender.
Right.
And so you've got to evaluate. If you're going to trade Mike, you want to do right by him because he's done right by the organization throughout his career. So how do we do right by Mike Conley? It would be to trade him to a contender where he had a chance to win a championship. And, you know, I think when the Grizzlies traded Marc Gasol, you weren't sure what you were getting back in value, and you actually turned out to be a really, really, really good trade. Theory has always been, or conventional wisdom has always been, when you trade a franchise player, when you trade a max player, you never get the full value back. And so you have to decide, okay, where do we want to go? Do we want to be an up-and-down team? Do we want to be a floor-spacing team that shoots threes? And maybe Mike Conley now becomes a wing guy who can slash, who can create, and also can hit threes. I mean, there are so many different directions now for this largely new front office for the Grizzlies that, man, there's got to be one tremendous flow chart on the whiteboard up there somewhere.
No question about it. Pete, one other thing we'd love to get your perspective on, because he wasn't in your neck of the woods very long, but Jerry Stackhouse, of course, getting hired by Vanderbilt to be their new head basketball coach. We've had a chance to meet him. He's starting to sign some guys and start building a program. Of course, he's building it from the bottom here. They had a nightmare season. But what were your impressions of Jerry Stackhouse in the limited time he was with Memphis?
Well, Stack is a great player development coach, and what I like about Stack is he was with the Toronto organization as an assistant under Dwayne Casey. He was also the head coach of Raptors 905. I mean, he understands what it is to take talent that may not be NBA level or elite level and make them winners, and he has worked with any number of players, and everybody that plays for Jerry Stackhouse gets better. He's very detail-oriented. He is going to demand accountability from players. And I think anybody who, like him, played at North Carolina, you know, there's that tradition that was set by Dean Smith that this is how you play the game. And anybody that I've ever come across who's played basketball for North Carolina that I've come across, and that includes guys like Vince Carter, they're great human beings. They do things the right way. And they're winners. And I think that Jerry's going to do a great job. He's bringing several members of the Grizzlies support staff with him. So he's going to have familiar faces with him and young, talented faces with him. So I like the hire. You know, I was a little surprised that Jerry, you know, was interested in a college job. I assumed that the NBA would be his path. But the quickest role or the quickest route for him to be a head coach probably was going to college, and I think he's going to be a great fit for Vanderbilt, and he will certainly elevate that program not only from a talent perspective and from a coaching perspective, but also from a visibility and a credibility perspective, and I couldn't be happier.
Before we let you go, Pete, none of us here probably are tied to any one team. We just want to be entertained in the Final Four here for the NBA. And I guess the basic question is, can somebody push the Warriors at this point? Who's got the best shot in your mind? You watch Portland closely. You just mentioned you got to do some of their playoff games. Oh, I'm sorry. You got to do the Denver-San Antonio, but you're familiar with
right.
Portland. Does Portland
right.
have much of a shot here?
You're so reliant on Lillard and McCollum to drive that bus. I think Milwaukee is the most complete team remaining in the playoffs. And I think if anybody is going to knock off Golden State, I think it would be Milwaukee. I think Golden State, even without KD or a limited KD, survives Portland. I don't think, particularly if KD is not there, if KD's not there, I'm not sure that Golden State survives Milwaukee. If KD is full strength and Golden State's full strength, that's going to be a seven-game series, and it's going to be one, I think, for the history books.
Mm. Hope it plays out that way. Pete, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Pete Pranica. He is the Grizzlies TV play-by-play man, and you heard his comments on Jerry Stackhouse, and it does seem like all signs are pointing toward the Grizzlies taking Ja Morant after Zion.
That, I tell you what.
Goes to,
that
I guess,
was so big, so big to move up to two, as opposed to some of the other things that could have happened, as he kind of illustrated. Mm-hmm. He says, if it goes to nine or below, they're giving that pick to the Celtics, and you're not even having a draft party. Now, at number two, there's excitement. They're not getting Zion, but Ja Morant or whoever they take there, they can do some things there. And they need it bad. They need assets. Because he just illustrated Mike Conley at this stage of his career, kind of leaning towards it's time to move on, clear the decks, and build with whoever they get it to, Jaren Jackson and some others.
We'll come back, kick off the fourth and final hour with Barry Melrose. That's next.